This is the Sheldonian Theatre of Oxford University. So it's named after Gilbert Sheldon, who was the Chancellor of the University when it was built. He was also Archbishop of Canterbury. It's based on Marcellus's theatre in ancient Rome, which is why you see those Roman suits of armour above the door. And, right. And look at the lion and the unicorn of the first window. And then up here to the royal coat of arms, the garter around it with the motto "On y soit qui mal y pense," shame on who thinks badly of it. The harp of Ireland, the lion rampant of Scotland, the lion's pass on the fleur de lis of France, and then the crown above it. It says in Latin, "Charles II, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith." Of course, he didn't actually control France, but they claimed to be kings of France under the Treaty of Amiens in 1801. Okay, and various coats of arms up here of England, Ireland, France, and so on. But go down a little bit. So this is for matriculation and graduation ceremonies, and indeed concerts. I'm zooming in around. I can't really see what I'm doing in terms of zooming. I zoomed in way too much. I want to zoom out. Oh my God. Okay, we're back to normal now. So matriculation, about a week after you join the university, you go in there in your subfusc, which is a uniform of a dark suit and a white shirt. Boys wearing white bow ties, ladies wearing these black lacy tie things. Obviously, males wearing trousers, but females wearing skirts or trousers. But these days, also people are trans. Anyway, this is designed by Sir Christopher Wren, the renowned architect who went to Wadham College, Oxford. But well, if you go there for matriculation, there's a ceremony in Latin, you're sort of sworn into the university. You don't need to know one word of Latin to come here. So, because a Roman theatre would be open to the sky, and this is based on a Roman theatre, well, they thought, can we do that? No, the weather's too bad. So they painted a sky seen on the ceiling, and there are trusses under it to support the weight. And look at these faces around here. I don't know who they're supposed to be. They're not really gargoyles or grotesques, like the victor's laurels above that one. So the Sheldonian Theatre's got a capacity of about 1,000 people. It's used for concerts sometimes, and many days it's open to the public. So you can go to the cupola on the top, that round room with windows all the way around, and that will afford you a magnificent panoramic view over Oxford. And look at the line on this one. They don't make it they don't make them like that anymore. Look at the care with which this was done. And more coats of arms way up top. You see the thistle of Scotland. Okay. Anyway, so, and then Encinia takes place there, which is a big ceremony in high summer. And the Chancellor comes here. He's the ultimate authority in the university. The Chancellor doesn't even live here, and he comes here a few times a year. The current Chancellor's Lord Patton of Barnes. Lord Patton's a superannuated Conservative politician and was the last governor of Hong Kong. So being Chancellor is an office one holds for life, but he's choosing to retire. He doesn't need to. He can stay to the day he dies, as his predecessor, Lord Jenkins of Hillhead, did. So she'll elect a new Chancellor this year, and only Oxford graduates are allowed to vote. Anyone can stand for it. You don't need to be an Oxonian to stand for it, but most of them have been Oxonians. Okay, and so this is actually the front of the Sheldonian, even though it doesn't face onto the street. Look how high the door is there. And then saying this... good man, lettered man of the Oxford University, yes, Gilbert Sheldon, Archbishop of Canterbury, Chancellor of the University, made this in 1668. Well, that's when they commenced construction, but it took them a few years to do. They see more coats of arms up high, and you can see his image right above the door. Sorry, it's rather shaded, and his coat of arms there. As Archbishop of Canterbury, look at the angels, the supporters, their wings, and then the mitres on either side, as in the bishop's hat, which are supposed to look like tongues of flame coming out of the heads of the 12 apostles at Pentecost. You know, was it 40 days after the ascension of Jesus? The apostles were rather afraid, and they gathered in the room, and the Holy Spirit caused flames to come out the top of their heads. So there's what mitres are all about. Okay, so that is the Sheldonian Theatre, and we often just call it the Sheldonian for short. So, and then over here, we're going to have a look at the Divinity School. Divinity School, they began building this in 1423. It took them 59 years to complete. So divinity meaning religious studies, and they used to teach that in there. But exams took place there, oral and in Latin, until about 200 years ago. Latin for all subjects. So they weren't just learning Latin, but if they were studying biology or law or philosophy or anything, they did it through Latin. And obviously you're wearing a subfusc. So the academics here, we call them dons, colloquially, because they can have all sorts of titles such as professor, that's rather few of them, prelector, junior research fellow, whatever. Generically, we just say he is a don or she is a don. But anyone else could question you. So someone is there for his final exams, and other undergraduates can fire some questions at him. And if you had lots of enemies, they could really try and trip you up by asking you some very tricky questions. Anyway, what about the exam schools? But these days, people go in there as part of their graduation ceremony, change their short gown into their long gown, and they process from that door into the big door here, into the Sheldonian for their graduation ceremony. So we've got a capacity of 1,000, the Sheldonian, but they typically graduate only about 300 people at a time because they usually have their parents with them. Anyway, what else about here, the Divinity School? Oh yeah, you'll see it in the Harry Potter films, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and indeed Harry Potter, and is it the Goblet of Fire? In the first one, it's a hospital, where Harry Potter is. The second one, that's where Professor McGonagall teaches her students how to dance the Yule Ball. And you can see up there, above the door, the university's coat of arms, Psalm 27 of the Bible, Dominus Illuminati Omea, the Lord is my light. And right at the top, the royal coat of arms, have been the many, many editions of it. The lion and the unicorn is the supporters, and the motto in French, Dieu est mon droit. And various gargoyles and grotesques up top, yeah? So to ward off evil spirits, a gargoyle is a grotesque but with a water spout coming out of the mouth for rainwater, and it makes a gargling sound as the rain comes out. And on the top floor, that is Duke Humphrey's library, because Duke Humphrey of Gloucester, the younger brother of Henry V, he had it built as the library, okay? So that was the first purpose-built library in Oxford University. And it's used in some Harry Potter films. It's got lots of enormous handwritten books because this was before printing in this part of the world. Obviously, the Chinese had printing for 1,000 years before that. Anyway, through this door is the Chancellor's Court and the Convocation House. And look at the angels on the door. The Convocation is like a meeting of all the dons, like a parliament of the university. I don't know when they meet, what they decide. And the Chancellor's Court really did function as a court of law. Oxford University had its own police force until the year 2000. And I really do mean police. They didn't wear ordinary police uniforms, but their bib said Oxford University Police. And their powers of arrest, not only over members of the university, but anyone in the centre of Oxford, because Oxford University and its 39 constituent colleges, they own virtually everything in the city centre. So anyone who was here, they could arrest, put them on trial. Until the 1920s, they had their own prison. And that is on Blue Boar Street. I can show you where it stands. And back in the Middle Ages, they on at least one occasion executed somebody. okay. And this bit, I can never remember what this bit is here, but I almost never see the door open. Now you see the university's coat of arms right up there again, Dominus Illuminati Omea. And look at the green wreath around it. Would you call it a wreath here? Yeah. And then the royal coat of arms way up top. The royal coat of arms changes often a little bit from one monarch to another. You can recognise the main features. Okay. So that's a little bit of the centre of Oxford University, some of the most historic buildings from the 15th century and the 17th century. And look at all these emperors' heads.